Lord Jesus Christ, who for our sakes came to share our human condition, to be born as a helpless baby, and then to suffer pain and death so that we could be restored to fullness of life. Give us grace at this time to prepare quietly and humbly for your coming, so that we may reveal your deepest love and hold close to you in faith all the days of our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen. During the pandemic, in order to stay competitive in the marketplace, businesses have had to reevaluate how they can best serve their customers and also, I think, reflect continually on what areas of business they can concentrate on and how do they stay in business. If we ask those same questions of the kingdom of God, the church, the gospel reading from Matthew tells us the business that Jesus says we are in. Feed the hungry, to provide drink for those who are thirsty, to welcome and clothe the strangers, to tend to the sick and visit those in prison. These are some of the most important things that we can do as members of the Church of Christ. And today, the last Sunday before Advent, we celebrate the reign of Christ, and the readings point us always today, what business is God in, and how's business? The prophet Ezekiel, thank you, Gareth and Winifred, that was lovely to see Winifred reading as well, gives us a clear idea of what business the Lord is in. The Lord is in the recovery business of hope, hope against all odds, hope when life seems unbearable, hope when all seems lost and you want to give up. Ezekiel says God seeks and rescues and feeds and brings people to him. God, who offers hope in the wilderness, in the barren parts of our life, in the inconsolable and in the darkness. 15 times in the text, we see the word I. God was contrasting what the kings of Israel had done to the people and what he had done for them. And what does God promise? He promises that I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land, and Israel from among the peoples and the nation. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. God was not pleased with the way the leaders of Israel had treated the people, and now God has decided to step in, take over, and rule over them. History has had its fair share of takeovers. We have seen takeovers in many countries throughout history, and most recently, attempts in our own hemisphere and Asia. Attempts to overturn legitimate electoral votes, military takeovers in South America and Europe. Many times, someone with powerful ambition comes to power through force. And at the time of the birth of Christ, Herod the Great, an Edomite, would become the king over Israel through murders, political intrigue, and alliances. Many of us have worked in places where we have witnessed people manipulating and conniving to get ahead, to take over, to gain control. We see this in families, church communities, countries, community organizations, where the desire for dominance can have a devastating effect. Ezekiel has preached to the Israelites before their captivity in Babylon and after. When the people are languishing in Babylon in captivity, he reminds them to not give up. He offers them hope. And into this scene of confusion, the prophet describes God as a shepherd coming among sheep that are scattered and in disarray, not knowing where to turn or who to turn to. God's coming to take over, to make things right, to bring order out of chaos. And this is the perfect image of the incarnation, God coming to live among us in the person of Jesus. Jesus, who is God with skin on, coming in the midst of a broken people, dominated and ruled by the Romans, who were the ultimate takeover power. Jesus is born, not as an earthly king, no huge army, no murdering schemes to exert human power and might, but as a helpless baby. He was not born in a decked-out nursery on the top floor of a lavish palace. This will be a king who is defenseless and weak and powerless and needy. The God who feeds, seeks, brings back the lost. He helps those who hurt and strengthens the weak, coming among us as the most vulnerable of all creatures, a baby. How the powerful and those who believe they're in control laugh at such a thing. How much power can a baby exert? Well, if you're up all night with a baby, you might answer that question. Herod must have thought this was going to be easy. The next king of the Jews was only a baby. Babies aren't any threat. They have no power. They have no talents. All he had to do was hunt this baby down, murder him, problem solved, or so he thought. But that's the most amazing thing about Christ the King. The way he approaches us and rules over us. He knows how stubborn we can be, like mules. He knows we can use power to get our way, even if we know it's wrong. Remember, Paul says, the good I want to do and I keep on, and the evil I keep on doing. He knows we don't like anyone telling us what to do or how to do it. He knows that we love to play the bizarre, the blame game, because we don't want to admit that we've sinned. But that is where God takes over. That is where we need to go into our prayer closets and tell God that we failed to love others in his name. We wanted power. We wanted to be in charge. We did complain. We did gossip. We did try and reconfigure the universe for him. And then God says, "You are my beloved. I will save you. I will make you to lie down in green pastures, and I will feed you on the good grazing land, and you shall no longer be ravaged, and I will take care of the judging. You can leave that in my hands. You can leave that in my hands." If we're going down the wrong road, God will come looking for us. He will never let us out of his sight for long. If we refuse God's offer of good pasture, he doesn't write us off. He doesn't say, "That's okay. I'll never have anything else to do with you again. You're out of my good books." That's not God's character. Instead, he gives us this incredible gift, his son, who will grow to be the ultimate king. Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to whom all will bow, to whom all tongues will confess that he is Lord. Jesus, who in the power of the Holy Spirit wants to take over our hearts. We have his nature in us, and he calls us to be the light of the world. And all he asks is that we open the door to our inner self, surrender our pride, our ambitions, and our performance anxiety, and admit that we are hungry for a peace that passes all understanding. In her book, Open the Door, Christian author Joyce Rupp writes, "What does the door of your heart look like? Is it transparent? Can people look through it and find authenticity there? Perhaps the door consists of heavy wood or thick brass. The kind of door might be keeping someone out who needs a welcome, or could signify strength to live the courage of one's convictions. The door of our heart needs to be flexible, like a folding door, allowing plenty of space to welcome new growth. The lightness and openness of a screen door might convey easy accessibility to both the outward and inward aspects of oneself. Some of us have opaque doors no one can see inside. Others have padlocks on the door. Maybe someone hurt them previously and they fear to trust again. So what are the messages on the doors of our heart? I love this. I read the other day. They might say, enjoy your stay. Room service, not available. Enter at your own risk. Step inside. No trespassing. No longer at this address. Or take your shoes off and wipe your feet. When we open the door of our hearts to God, we do more than extend a smile of recognition or a nod of welcome. We open ourselves to grow and change in ways we never dreamed likely. We risk being spiritually transformed into a person whose life continually manifests goodness. The promised rich pastures and goodness of God begins to happen on an inner level of ourselves when life situations and graced moments invite us to become fully more of who we are. The choices and decisions we make determine whether we will open the doors of our heart to let this baby that is on his way be born within. When we make a choice to accept the reign of Christ, then we enter into an unknown territory of growth, or we can choose to turn back and cling to the safety of who we presently are. If we are willing to be transformed, then the door to our inner self is opened, and we will greet fresh ideas along with possible changes in attitude and emotional responses. The triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will enter in and give us a hunger for authenticity and fullness in our relationships. And we'll have this incredible sense of being alive, of coming home. So let the Holy God come and find you, feed you, and bring you into the presence with thanksgiving. Look at your life with an honest and heartfelt desire to be your authentic self. Let the Holy One come and care for you and keep you safe. Let Christ reign. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you were born in poverty when we might have anticipated riches. You are King of all the earth, yet you were content to visit one nation. From beginning to end, you upturned our human values and held us in suspense. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Do not let us take you for granted or pretend that we ever fully understand you. Continue to surprise us so that, kept alert, we may always be ready to receive you as Lord and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.